home all week is Boston. We are live from the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce annual meeting. Carol Masser, Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio. Our next guests, successful commercial real estate developers. Their property, they're now donating to nonprofits, and they've also joined Warren Buffett and Bill and Melinda Gates with the Giving Pledge. And tonight, I've got the honor of presenting the next two individuals with an award for being named 2017 Distinguished Bostonians at the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce annual meeting. Joyce and Bill Cummings, founders of Cummings Properties, are here with us. Welcome to Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Carol.
It's nice to have you here with us. Tell us a little bit about this recognition, what it means for the two of you.
Well,
I love it. They both looked at each other like, you go. No, you go.
I think we're somewhat overwhelmed, quite frankly.
Really?
Because we have never actually lived in Boston, although I did for 1 year when I very, very first came here. But our focus has been more outside the Boston area. As the foundation has become more widely known and we've been involved in more things, we've recognized enormous needs in the Boston area.
Tell us a little bit about what you guys are doing with your foundation.
For the most part, I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of what we're doing is supporting largely smaller not-for-profits in three eastern Massachusetts counties, Middlesex, Essex, and Suffolk. We have a disproportionate amount of attention probably in Suffolk County, even though we don't do any business here per se, because there seem to be a lot of easily identifiable needs, and that's been important.
Are there particular how did you decide? People are always, I'm sure, knocking on the door wanting some help, and people with demonstrable needs. How do you try to decide what your problems you're trying to work on?
Not so much a question of which problem to work on, but working with smaller organizations. One basic principle we have is that we're not looking to support national charities that have larger endowments than we do already. So we try to find smaller organizations that are doing good in a very local area oftentimes, or at least in a tri-county area.
There is something about smaller organizations who are on the ground in a community who understand the needs. They just get it, and they know exactly what needs to be done.
Exactly. And we want to give back where the money was made and where the employees of Cummings Properties live. And $100,000 to a small not-for-profit is just enormous. They can do so much with it, and they don't. Most of them do not receive the $100,000 grant all in 1 year. It's spread out over 10 to 4 years, 3 years.
It reminds me of like the impact of a microloan, where you see that in developing countries, where you give a family, it's often typically the woman of the household, $100, $50, and they create some kind of industry, and they're able to all of a sudden support their family. But it doesn't need to be millions of dollars. You guys are making a difference.
That's a good comparison, the microloans.
Yeah.
Bill, why are you doing this?
We have more than we'll ever need. We've, at this point, our sustaining organization behind the foundation is Cummings Properties, which leases commercial real estate outside the city, but we've got 90 or 100 buildings, and we want to give back, as Joyce said, where we obtained our funds and also where the organizations, where the people that support the underlying company come from, and where our tenants come from, where their employees come from.
No, I get the what, but my question is the why. Because not everyone in business gives to charity like this. Not everyone who's had success gives like this. And we've got some prominent examples in our society right now. And I just wonder why you've made this such a priority.
It's the right thing to do. there's nothing better to do with the large funds that are beyond our needs. We don't have a private plane. I've never ridden in a private plane. We don't have multiple homes. We live in a. Our lot is 7,000 or 8,000 square feet in our house, and we've got four children. They have all that they want, and they've actually given some of the funds that we had previously given to them, have wanted to support the foundation, and have made substantial seven-figure donations back.
That's lovely. You may not have multiple homes, you may not have a private plane, but you definitely have a moral compass, which I think is really, really needed in today's society.
I think we need to give our families, our parents, credit for that. I've said in the past that sometimes it sounds pretty Pollyannish.
Right.
But that's the way we were raised.
I love it. Joyce and Bill Cummings, congratulations and thank you. Founders, Cummings Properties and Cummings Foundation.
Let's get Nathan Hager with some world and national news headlines.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it. The Senate panel that's looking into Russian election meddling is getting some long-awaited testimony about fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's contacts with the Russians. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Irv Chapman.
Sally Yates, who the president fired a few days later because of an unrelated disagreement, recounted what she told White House counsel Don McGahn about retired General Michael Flynn's contact with the Russians.
We took him through in a fair amount of detail what General Flynn had done, conduct problematic in and of itself.
And what Flynn told Vice President Mike Pence about it was untrue. Pence repeated Flynn's version publicly, and the Russians could have used the threat to expose Flynn's misleading conduct.
That created a compromise situation, a situation where the national security advisor essentially could be blackmailed by the Russians.
Flynn was himself fired when all this leaked to news media. Irv Chapman, Bloomberg, Washington.
The Trump administration is defending its revised travel ban and getting a tough reception.
He's never repudiated what he said about the Muslim ban. It's still on his website. The district court here found that it's on his website, campaign website, today, or as of the day that he wrote the opinion.
Robert King is one of 13 judges on the Richmond-based 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals hearing arguments about a Maryland judge's decision to block the order, barring entries from 6 Muslim-majority nations. Acting Solicitor General Jeffrey Wall is urging this panel to focus on the text of the president's order, not his campaign statements. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.